Tracy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network's studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. This half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They're my intellectual property specialists, and so they should be yours. They are really fantastic. They offer free consultations. So if you need some legal advice, contact Bill Larson at 727-546-0660. And you'll be sure to get just the news that you need about your intellectual property rights. Now, it's so nice. I have in the studio today with me a fantastic writer, an award-winning writer, Bria Burton. Hi, Bria.
Hi, Patsy.
Well, you know, robots and spaceships and futuristic megacities and planets orbiting distant stars and time travel, those are the icons of science fiction, and I know that you love science fiction.
I do.
So I've read your short stories, and it's just wonderful. I always admire science fiction writers so much for their innovation and for fantastic minds. So when did you get inspired by science fiction?
I think it started with my dad. He was always a big fan of like H.G. Wells and Jules Verne and some of the classics. And so I just really got into some of those more classical types. And then in more recent years, especially enjoying some of the podcasts that'll put out, like Escape Pod is a podcast that puts out short stories for science fiction only, and that's an avenue where you can just listen for free to some more recent authors putting out their science fiction, and there's some excellent more recent authors. I know you had Mike Resnick on here. He has short stories on Escape Pod, for example. I think that's where I first heard him. And so there's just a lot of really fun. I'm the same way. I like across the gambit with the time travel, with other worlds, with space travel, all that kind of stuff. So very enjoyable.
Now, you've written quite a few short stories.
Mm-hmm. I've had over a dozen short stories published, most of which tend to be the speculative fiction, especially science fiction. I tend to start a short story and often I'll think, well, how can I make this a little twist on reality? And that's usually where it starts, where I try to get some ideas to make it a little more otherworldly in some way.
And when we're talking about a short story, how many words are the average short stories?
I think it can depend on where you're reading, because I've read short stories that are less than 1,000 words, and I've read short stories that are over 10,000 words. So Daily Science Fiction, for example, is an online magazine, very well-respected magazine, that does less than 1,500 words, I believe, for each of their daily fiction stories. And then places like Asimov's and Fantasy and Science Fiction Magazine will publish upwards up to like 20,000 words. So I've written shorter ones in the 1,000 to 2,000 word range. And I've also written, for example, On Both Sides from the Prometheus Saga was almost 10,000 words.
Now, the Prometheus Saga, let's explain that to the listeners.
Sure.
It's such a fascinating group that has come together to write science fiction and then to get out there and market it.
Yes, in fact, I had the privilege of coming here back in February with two of the authors from the Alvarium Experiment. And what the Alvarium Experiment is a group of authors who have come together, essentially a collective that puts these anthologies together. And we started with a unique short fiction experience where we put out our short stories as 99-cent Kindle stories so that people could buy the individual story and see if they were interested, and if they wanted to buy another author from the anthology, they could jump over to their 99-cent story. And then eventually we did put all the stories that were 13, I believe, and we put them all into one anthology so that that's now available as the Prometheus Saga online through basically all the avenues and channels. And the idea initiated with these two authors who came up with the premise of an alien probe is sent to Earth to observe mankind. So everyone's stories had to have this character, and it could be any race, any either gender, male, female, and they could take on any type of embodiment as this character traveled, not through time per se, sorry to mix up the two, but as they existed on Earth and observed us. So there were stories set in ancient times, stories set Holocaust time. My story was set during the American Revolution.
And
there
I love that
thank
story.
Thank you
that,
so
that,
much.
That, was, that is such a clever little story. I enjoyed it so much. You really... you captured the era. It was
Thank you.
Really fantastic.
I had so much fun writing it.
I could tell that, you know, just reading it, I was thinking, oh, she's having fun with this
yes,
story.
Yes. Someone commented on a review that they thought it was Downton Abbey meets The Patriot. And I thought that is like the best compliment. Like that to me was what I was sort of going for without being able to put it in such eloquent words. And actually, I meant to tell you that the story has now been reprinted in a local anthology called Writers of Pinellas County, or sorry, what is it called? Writers of Pinellas. And the anthology is in exclusively, all the profits are going to Wordier Than Thou, which is a local group who they do events all over Tampa Bay, readings, literary events. I was at different book signings that they've put on, like the Tampa Bay Book Fair and Florida Bookstore Day. So they now opened a bookstore, and there was a local publisher who wanted to basically support them by putting out an anthology by local Pinellas County authors. So I submitted, because they were taking reprints, I thought, oh, I'll submit some shorter pieces, and they ended up picking on both sides, which surprised me because it's so long. So it did end up making it into that anthology, so that's available in the Wordier Than Thou bookstore now, which has just opened up in Pinellas Park.
Oh, that's great, because I love that story.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Yeah, so...
So that's part of the Prometheus...
The Prometheus Saga is the name of the anthology that that this group of authors, the Alvarium Experiment, that was our first project. And we just all had such a great time doing what we were doing, because it was shared talent, basically, in order to publish. So we were indie publishing, but utilizing the talent in the group to get that done. For example, one guy did the cover art, one guy was doing formatting, I was helping people with some of their marketing side. And so it was just a group effort to do the process together. And then we are now looking toward our next project, which is going to be tentatively right now, it's titled Return to Earth, and also science fiction. And the idea is that a group of travelers comes to Earth, and to everyone's surprise, they're human. So that's the premise, where we all are writing stories based on that premise. And I'm having a lot of fun with mine. Mine's actually complete, and I've got it going to editors now.
Whoa, that's great. The website for the project is beautiful.
It is. That was another thing where one of the authors was able to create that website for us. So,
what is the name of it?
So the website is, sorry, it's not a short name. It's alvariumexperiment.com. Let me pull that up.
Yeah, I think that's right. Because the artwork for the cover of the book is
yes,
magnificent.
Yes,
it's one
and
of
that
the best
was,
science fiction covers I've seen.
That was Charles Cornell. So he has done all of the cover art for all of the stories. And each single story had their own cover with this mutual theme.
Exactly.
And then he came up with the main cover. So I apologize, a moment ago I couldn't get this pulled up. So alvariumexperiment.wix.com is the website. And yeah, it's beautiful what he did.
It is. And I was looking at it. Is there an Audible version yet of this?
Not yet. I think we're all interested in expanding beyond, because right now we do have, you know, the Nook, we have the Kobo, we have all the different options, but not Audible yet. And we are doing a panel at the Florida Writers Association conference in October. Several of the authors have been accepted to do a panel discussing essentially the idea of author collaboration for a panel. So we'll be there this October, the 20th through the 23rd is when the conference is in Orlando.
And you're quite involved in that.
Yes, I'm a member of the Florida Writers. I lead the St. Pete chapter, and we have a meeting every second Thursday of the month at the main branch St. Pete Library. We meet at 6 p.m., and there's often a speaker who will be coming. So, for example, next month in July, we have author T.J. Waters. He's a local author, former CIA, so he has a lot of interesting stories. And then you, for example, are coming in September. With your lawyer, so
with my legal eagle, yes, Bill Larson,
so
and we're going to come and we're going to be very entertaining.
Yes, that I'm very much looking forward to that. So
we have a lot of fun stories to talk about legal questions and legal stories that I think the group will find interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And since I'm faculty for the conference, I actually have another workshop that I'll be teaching while I'm there on writers' love-hate relationship with social media.
And is there a sci-fi conference coming up, or is it? Did I miss it?
This would be just the Florida Writers that I was going to be at. It's not specific to a genre.
Ah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's something that we have to mark our calendars. And mm-hmm. Repeat the dates again.
October 20th through 23rd, and on floridawriters.net you can register, and you don't have to register for the whole conference. You can register for 1 day, 2 days, or all 3 days, and there's a lot of really great workshops.
And where is it going to be held?
It's at the Hilton in Altamont Springs near Orlando.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know that place well. I've been there. It's a conference, a mega conference.
Yes, it's a wonderful
destination.
Hotel.
Yeah. It's great. And and it's I think this is something that all writers have to attend these events. You learn a lot. You get to meet a lot of interesting people, and of course, part of being a writer especially today is to do this networking. In a big way.
Absolutely.
Because you have to have your writer's platform.
It's done, for me, it's been very valuable. I've gone for the past 7 years, and every year I get something new out of it.
So now let's talk a bit about, so we're going to have the Elvarium project going on with a new book coming out probably.
So we have a tentative launch date August 15th.
Oh, that's
so that'll be the same way we did the Prometheus saga, this saga, Return to Earth, which is again the tentative title, but I'm pretty sure everybody so far is liking that title. So we'll just stick with Return to Earth. We'll be launching with the single stories on August 15th, meaning there's 10 of us this time. Not everybody could return, so there's 10 instead of the 13 we had before. So 10 of the authors will be putting out their 99-cent Kindle single story so that people can come and check out one story, or they can get several, and then eventually we will put it again into a single anthology.
So your story is done.
Mine is done. It's in the editing phase, and this is a story that I had several rejections on from different literary magazines, and then one said, you made it to the final round, and then you didn't make it all the way. So I thought, okay, well, at least it's got a lot of promise. So just with some help with my critique group and some writers that I really trust, got it much more polished and pretty close to being ready for this anthology. And it's called AOB, which stands for Alien Operated Bot.
Uh-huh.
So there's alien presence, there's artificial intelligence. So it was a lot of fun to write.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to that. That's fantastic. How many words is that one?
That one is about 9,000. I seem to get longer.
Well, that's wonderful. I think it's so fantastic. And as I said, I have found more and more interest from people of all. There was a time where science fiction was really sort of a younger person's genre, but now, I don't know. Maybe it's Diana Gabaldon and all the others who have written books that, with full series of books and sure. time travel books that really have brought a very wide audience, and it's a yes. growing area.
Yes.
Sci-fi is one of the genres that's really growing, and mm-hmm. And I think it's a fantastic place for you to be in.
Thank you. Yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
Okay, and I just have to take a quick break, and when I come back, we're going to talk about your new novel that you've written. Okay?
Okay, we'll sounds good.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I'm back with my guest, Bria Burton, who's here in the studio with me, and we're talking about all of her fascinating projects. Now, I just heard from her that she is now working on a contract for a book.
Yes.
First book.
Yes. Well, so this would be the first time I've been offered representation by an agent. I went the route of submitting to agents. And
query letters.
Query letter, yes.
Don't
the
you
route
love
of the
them?
Query letter.
Don't you just love query letters?
Oh my, yeah, they are interesting. So it's one of the harder things to write is the query letter and the synopsis, which I get a lot of help from Molly Nickel, who has a website called getpublishednow.biz, I believe. Uh-huh. And if you look up her name, Molly Nickel, she is fabulous. She helps writers write their query. She helps writers yeah. write their synopsis. And she's very up to date on the latest because it's constantly changing, especially now that there's email. So it's a different format than it used to be with the snail mail submissions, which some take snail mail still, but most prefer
yeah,
email.
Very few take.
Yeah. So I did. I had one agent reply that they were interested, and I also have a very dear writer friend who's a writing coach who was giving me a lot of wonderful advice. Her name's Eloise Jones, and she was saying, so when you talk to them on the phone, you know, make sure you ask these questions. And it was like, oh, some of those questions hadn't even occurred to me yet. And so it's just like a whole new world. I was looking up a lot of things, verifying that this was a reputable agent, looking up, just everything I could to find out so that I could make this decision after I got off the phone and it was a good phone conversation. And then ended up contacting someone who's a lawyer and has literary expertise, and they're going to be looking at the contract here. So I'm telling people it's like it opened a portal to a new world, because I've been in this query rejection mode for so long that it was like, oh, okay, I got to open up into this new realm where now we're looking at a different aspect, where it's turning now into, okay, if we're actually interested, now what do we do?
Okay, well, tell us about the book. It sounds fascinating. Then what's the name?
The book is called Sprinter. And it's about a woman. Her name is actually Riley Sprinter, and she's a runner. Her mother was murdered at the 1986 Athens Marathon, and the story is set 14 years later in 2001, where she is essentially given up all her life dreams. She's basically suffering from PTSD because the way the mother was murdered was basically in her arms. So the story is about her healing process, about how she comes back to her dreams of professional running, and I've been writing on it since about 2008.
So it's a story very close to your heart.
Yes, I'm a runner. I actually work at a running store called St. Pete Running Company, where I am the blogger there. And for a long time, I was not a fan of running. I was kind of, in fact, my running blog is the anti-running runner. That's the name of it. And I was very much the reluctant distance runner after being a sprinter back in high school. So it's been a love-hate relationship that's kind of blossomed into, okay, I really am getting into this. And so started writing this story and didn't really intend to write women's fiction. Like I said, when I start a story, I tend toward the speculative. I tend to think in speculative terms. But this particular story was one that essentially came to me, and I describe my muse as the Lord, but some people will say, oh, it's like a cosmic download. I'm like, yeah, I mean, for me, it's like a God download came, and the beginning, the middle, and end came to me during a run. And that's never happened, never happened since, never happened before. And so it was a very special story that I knew exactly what was going to be happening, and it was just a matter of getting the story down and getting it polished and getting it to blossom into what it was intended to be. And so that's kind of how it started.
It sounds like it's going to be a truly inspirational story.
It's definitely an inspirational story. It's there is a Christian message in it, and the idea is overcoming the obstacles and overcoming all the things that this character has been through. And the initial kind of push for her is that she ends up assaulting a stranger, gets arrested, and she's basically ordered to go to counseling. So that's where the healing slowly starts. So it was very much, this sounds like a great story, but type rejection letters for a long time. I started submitting back in 2012 and eventually had one interested in reading the full manuscript who then very politely declined with some very detailed reasons why. And especially the beginning, the opening was weak. And I had had a lot of feedback from my critique group of the same thing, the opening was weak. And so that was something that I've just really been working hard on, strengthening that opening and that hook to get to where, okay, if the reader can't get past the first few pages, what's the point of having a great middle and a great end? So
exactly. So you work very closely with a readers group.
Yes, I have a critique group. We meet once a month, but we handle our critiques via email, which makes it very convenient because we email the pieces the first Monday and the third Monday of every month, and then they're due the following Monday, which would be the second or fourth Monday of the month. So basically twice a month getting critiques back and in turn sending critiques out. And it's been so helpful for me in my writing. I joined the group back in 2008, and now I'm actually the leader of the group.
Well, that's fantastic, because some writers who are just starting out, they don't realize the importance of doing something
like that. Yes, that was something I had to learn, and I had to. I like to share this story that my first critique group ever, where I showed up with my heart in my hand, when here's my story, don't you love it? And literally walked away crying, not because anyone had been mean. No, everybody was very polite. Everyone was very honest in their and fair in their critique, but it was the first time I'd ever had a real critique, and so I had my cry, and I decided, okay, if I'm going to be a writer, I need to get some alligator skin and move forward. And so ever since then, I've never had a hard time with a critique that has come my way.
And how does a writer find this kind of a group?
So I found it through the Florida Writers Association. So for example, now that I lead the St. Pete chapter, people contact me to say, hey, here's what I'm writing. Do you have a group that matches that? And I just recently had someone contact me, and I happened to have a group that fit her just nicely. So we're one avenue that people can look for. I know there's a lot of online critique groups. If you're more inclined to just, we don't need to meet in person, let's just exchange online, there are a lot of those types of groups. And then Pinellas Writers is a local group that meets, I believe, every Saturday. They meet at the Largo Community Center from 9 to noon, and they do critiques where you can read at the meeting. And then there's also St. Pete Writers Club, which meets, I know they don't meet on our Thursday, so they must meet the first and third Thursday of the month at the West Community Library by St. Pete College. And they also have a critique set up where the Florida Writers St. Pete meeting is speakers. So it's not a critique setting. It's more of a kind of absorb and get information type meeting. But there are several groups in the area that have the critique.
So, and what is your website? Let's just repeat that so that...
My personal website is briaburton.com.
And... people can contact you there. And they
absolutely,
can also...
yep. There's a contact link with my email address. And then if you are interested in subscribing to my e-newsletter, that's on there. Pretty much links to all of my writing is on there. Some of the short stories are free to read. So if you click on it, you'll see right away whether it's just right there or if it's a paid anthology type thing.
And it gives people one chance to then... have a link to contact you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're always happy to help.
Yes, absolutely. So if, looking for groups, that type of thing, I'm happy to have people contact me about that.
Oh, that's great. And so you went through, it's 100,000 words?
So Sprinter turned out to be about 100,000 words. I think my first draft was 60 or 65,000. So it went through a lot of adjustment and changes and additions. And a lot of the things that I was learning from the time I started writing it to now is infusing a lot more emotion, because that was something that was very much lacking in some of the early drafts. So learning how to write emotion was definitely a big part of my process.
And so... and it hasn't finished yet. You're probably...
oh, no. Yeah, it's still a process.
It's still a process.
Still ongoing.
It's funny. Writers sometimes think that that's it.
Right. No. No,
it doesn't happen that way. And so... I'm sure you'll get an agent. It sounds fascinating. I think this is it's a great premise for the book.
Thank you.
And again, there is a nice market for inspirational books.
And books
that offer something, some depth and some...
And my boss, I'm going to put him on the spot. His name is Cody Angel at St. Pete Running Company. He and his wife, Jana, own the shop. And he said, oh, hey, whenever you get that book out, since it's about a runner, very appropriate for the running store, he said, we'll have a party here for you. And so very generous of him to say.
I can see it. We're going to hold him to it. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, now that it's on the radio.
Listen, I'm going to be announcing it. It's going to be there. So it's going to be fantastic. That'd be fun. And again... talking about a writer's platform, this is something that you can really build on.
Absolutely.
When you have a lot of runners out there, mm-hmm. and just to get onto that whole network.
Yes, I've met a lot of people through the running store. Just not only do I do the blog, but I'm one of the customer service managers in the store, and we do a very in-depth fitting process for shoes. So I interact with people very... You get to know the person as you're getting them fit for their shoes. So there's just a lot of access for me for having this interaction with people who are potential readers.
Absolutely, and people who will get out there and move it along on their Twitter and on their blogs and on their Facebook.
Sure.
Because the more, for any writer, the more that you can just build that platform, build the connections on Facebook, on Twitter, wherever, when your book comes out, it really makes a difference. And actually, that's one of the things probably why an agent would want to pick you up, because mm-hmm. knowing that you have that kind of a potential network mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. people already interested in the subject.
Right. Yeah.
Is really very helpful.
Yes, very much so. Yeah, and especially coming from having basically no platform to now having built it over these years, it's I can actually see the benefit of all these little steps that have been taken.
So. Exactly. And of course, the first step is getting your website. And I just always remind people out there, you're dreaming of writing, register your name.
Yeah, yeah.
Get that website, because I was just talking to a writer last week, and she has .net, and I'm telling you right now, people might be looking for her. They're never going to look for her on .net. It just, it'll come up if she gets, famous enough and stuff. It'll come to the thing, but people just automatically type in .com. And I can't even think that I've ever written .net.
you just don't.
So if you can, grab your name. And if you have to grab it and hyphen with books or something,
right?
Do it right off, because that's the basic for your
yeah. That was platform. One of my first steps back years ago.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You got it years ago, mm-hmm. because it's a beautiful name. It's Bria, B-R-I-A. It's really a lovely name.
Thank you.
and very distinctive, and something that I think helps a writer to mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. such a nice name. So. I think this book sounds fascinating, and I'm always so thrilled when a writer gets to this point that you work so hard for so many years, mm-hmm. And you go through this query process. And
It can be very daunting, and especially as the rejections roll in, you get the sense of, okay, is anybody going to be interested? It feels like it's just not going anywhere, but all it takes is one. So that's what I kept hearing from a lot of other writers. It's like, all it takes is that one who's going to be right for you.
So. Yeah, it's persistence.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of persistence, a lot of...
And a lot of hard work and honing
hard work,
your skills.
Patience, yeah.
And honing your skills like you've done mm-hmm. with your writers group, and that's fantastic. I have to take another quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about something fun. We're going to talk about Bria's story about cat and dog.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Larson & Larson is a proud sponsor of Joy on Paper. Our law firm has the experience and knowledge to help you protect your valuable intellectual property. From trademark, copyright, and patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements, the attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida are here to advise you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com. That's Larson & Larson, your intellectual property attorneys.
Charles Ruttenberg Realty proudly sponsors Joy on Paper with Patsy Gill. Charles Ruttenberg sets the standard of excellence with residential and commercial real estate transactions and can help you on your next transaction, whether that is for a second home, investment, or downsizing. Call us today at 727-538-9200 extension 2 and allow me to help you. I'm John Rakowski, the broker at Charles Ruttenberg Realty.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.org. RR.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z, and I'm back in the studio with Bria Burton, an award-winning author who's been here talking about her science fiction short stories and her new novel that's going to be a very exciting, inspirational book when it comes out. We're going to talk to her in a minute about some fun books that she's written about her dog and cat. But before I do that, I just want to remind everyone that the San Francisco Writers Conference has opened up for submissions for the writing contest, and it's a wonderful opportunity for writers to enter one of the premier contests of in the writing world. There's a Writer's Digest, and then there's a San Francisco Writing Contest. So if you are have something to submit, I suggest that you go to it's sfwriters.org. And look at the requirements. It's only $35 to submit, and it is a really great opportunity to get read by some of the best people in the business. They have publishers, agents, and writers who all read these submissions, and it's a fascinating process that they go through of really honing down the winners, and it's a great opportunity. So it's $35 only, and why not take a chance? If you've got something that hasn't been published, then I suggest that you check out the Writers Conference. Have you ever submitted to the San Francisco Writers Contest?
I have not, but
well,
it
you
sounds
should try.
Great.
It's wonderful. They have a lot of different categories, mm-hmm. and it's a wonderful, wonderful place
mm-hmm.
to submit. Okay, so Bria, I was looking at your work, and I know that you had talked last time I spoke to you about a very nice little book that you wrote called Little Angel Helper, and that of course is a story that's very dear to your heart. So we'll talk about this first, and then we'll go on and talk about your dog and cat.
Okay, so yeah, Little Angel Helper. I have a sister with special needs, and I had been wanting to write a book or short story about a character with special needs, so I actually got a writing prompt from a podcast I listened to. I know I mentioned podcasts earlier, so this podcast, the Dune Steef Audio Fiction Magazine, they put out a lot of speculative fiction, sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and they had a writing prompt about a character who wins big at a claw vending machine. And I just thought, oh, I can take that idea and I think I can run with it. And so that's essentially what started Little Angel Helper. And I was writing it on my blog every day for 17 days and got the story completed. And I'd never done a story like that, a live story on my blog. And once I finished it, I had a lot of positive feedback. So I decided I'm going to go ahead and publish it as a indie published little novella. So that's how that came about. And I've had several people say they've cried when they read it and they really enjoyed it. And it's a sweet story about a guy. He's in his 30s. His sister, who has special needs, is supposed to come and live with him, but he has found himself in financial situations where he can't afford to take care of her. So it's the story of how he's going to be able to take care of her.
Well, it sounds wonderful, and it's available on Amazon.
Yes, yeah.
And
there's links on my website.
And that's what I was going to say. And you mentioned podcast. You do voiceovers for podcasts, right?
Yes, I did want to talk about that briefly. So the Dune Steef is one I just mentioned, the Journey into Podcast. I've made connections with these hosts. They have forums where you can go and chat about the stories they're putting on and chat about whatever. And so I've kind of made these connections with these hosts of these podcasts, and they every once in a while will kind of put out a call for needing voice work, and I thought, why not? I'll try it. I'll get a cheap little microphone and see what I can do. And it started with the Journey into Podcast, where they had an Edgar Allan Poe contest. And I submitted a story that actually made it as one of the winning stories to be aired on the podcast. And the host contacted me to say, you know, you have this one female character. Would you like to voice her? So that was the first time I voiced a character was in my own story on this podcast, which was a lot of fun.
And what is the name of it again?
That story is called Lygia, and it's on the Journey Into podcast, which you can subscribe in iTunes or journeyinto.blogspot.com. It might be journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com. But if you search Journey Into Podcast, it'll come up. And so since then, I have done another story of my own called A Dream Within a Dream, and it's kind of a dark horror, like more in the Edgar Allan Poe vein, because it was another one of his Edgar Allan Poe contests. And I actually didn't make it in that contest because he never received the submission, but he said, I did get a chance to read the story. I want it on my podcast. Eventually, I'll let you know when. And I kind of took this bold, like, you know, maybe since I did that one recording, maybe I could do another one. So I recorded the whole story, put in some sound effects like they do for their podcast, and let him know. And I said, I don't know if you want to use this or not, but I just want to throw it out there that here's the story that you were interested in, and I've produced it. And he said, oh my goodness, yes, I'm putting it up on my podcast. I just am so sorry I haven't gotten to it, because that had been like over a year or so, and I was just kind of waiting to hear if he'd ever podcast it. So he said, normally I wouldn't just let anybody just send me their produced story, but he said, since I was already going to do it, I'll go ahead and put it up. So that is called A Dream Within a Dream on that podcast as well. And on my website, there's links to all of this, and there's even an excerpt that you can hear me reading it right on my front page. So since then, I've had other stories that I've been asked by the Dune Steef to do some female characters, and so that's actually been a blast, and it's made me think, you know, I should go ahead and try to record some audible of my own books. Like, for example, Little Angel Helper was one that I wanted to do that. I just haven't taken the time yet, but I'd like to do that.
Wayne McDowell, who was on my program, he's a local author.
Yes, I do know Wayne.
And he just went through that process turning his book into an audible version.
Yeah.
And he really enjoyed the process.
Okay, yes.
And I got it, and it's really, you know, it's really great.
Okay, good.
I'm finding well, that more and more people are interested in the audible version.
Yeah, I think because so many of us are, it's a time thing. So you want time to read, but if you can do it in your car while you're commuting, even better.
Yeah.
So I heard of a recording studio called Rock Garden Recording in St. Pete. Apparently, it's like one of the best kept secrets. It's a very affordable recording studio. So a friend of mine was doing recording there for her blog, where she would read a blog and have it be on her blog. So I thought, you know, if I have trouble, because I have a not expensive mic, I don't have a ton of equipment. If I have trouble getting to the standards the Audible requires, then I could always go something like that, where I find a studio like that.
Oh, that sounds interesting. It's called Rock Garden?
Rock Garden Recording, and I don't know a lot about it except that it's affordable and that the guy who works there is awesome, according to her.
Okay. Well, that brings me back to your dog and cat.
Yes.
this is so funny. It's called Lance and Ringo Tails. Tails with a
yep.
T-A-I-L-S, yep. Tails. And how did you decide to write? It's funny because you're writing, it's almost like a script, you know, a dialogue between the dogs and the cat.
Yes. So,
so tell us about.
And just to mention all the genres that I'm writing in, from fantasy to sci-fi to women's fiction with my new novel. So this idea of pet stories was not something I ever intended to write, but there I am at home working on other things, like I think I mentioned to you, separate of the radio station, that I'm working on an epic fantasy trilogy. So I've got that. I've got my women's fiction novel. I've got my short stories.
Yeah, I was reading one of them this morning, and I was laughing.
So I would be at my desk doing my thing, and there are my dog and cat just playing, just having fun and attacking each other. And the cat especially is a real character. So as I'm kind of getting distracted by them, I thought, you know, you two are just telling stories over there. And that's essentially how it started, where I went, you know, I think I'm going to start writing these little stories. And that was my first foray into indie publishing. I wrote between like 3,000 and 5,000 word short stories once a month, and I would put them on the Kindle, in the Kindle store. And eventually I had 10 of them, and I thought, you know, now that I have these little short stories, I think I'll put them together and make a little collection. And that's how the print, and there's also an ebook version, came about. So at the Gulfport Art Walk, about once every couple months I'm down there, I have a giant poster, basically one of those, you know, displays that signs that has a picture of the book cover and says what it is, that it's the wild adventures of a dog and a cat as told by their human. And people are so drawn to that picture, I think, because we're, like, I'm the same way. I'm very drawn to animals. So they look at that and they're like, oh, look at that dog and that cat. And that's often what will get them coming to talk to me.
And you've written it as dialogue.
You're
ready now to write a movie, I guess. So it's really cute, the back and forth between Ringo and Lance. So it's
yeah,
really,
and that's just kind of how I see them. I watch them and I go, you two are going back and forth, and
they're talking about
feisty
you.
And so yeah, I kind of just imagined what they may be saying, and that's how it came about.
Well, I think it's very clever. It's very cute.
And yeah. It was a lot of fun to write these stories, because, again, I wasn't thinking of and it kind of targets a younger audience, which also I tend to write more to the adult audience, so wasn't intending to do that either. But it turned into a nice kind of entryway for me as an indie author.
Yeah, well, you know, some of them I think you could take, you should take and get them illustrated.
Oh, yeah, it would be
fun. It would be really a lot of fun, because you've got it. Some of them are very funny.
My favorite to write was the tale number 5, which is two brothers and a baby. And that was, my niece came to visit when she was 8 months old, and they were just hilarious with her. And so it just made for a really fun story to write.
Yeah, well, I think, as I said, I think you should have it illustrated and sell it as a kid's book. And
I definitely could do that.
You could do that. Yeah. Another genre for you. Like, you don't have enough.
Right.
Mean, really, you know, what you've done just about everything. We have to think of what you're going to do.
Right, right.
But that's the lovely thing about writing. You write what comes into your head, what comes inspires you, and you never know what it will be.
Yes, yep. Mm-hmm.
And so,
and one neat thing about just kind of going that route was learning a lot and learning that for my novels, that I really did want to find an agent, because I knew the work that it took to do self-publishing. And I thought, yeah, I mean, it's been great to have the experience, but I'm definitely interested in the traditional route for my full-length novels. And so that's what has led me then to this path for Sprinter, and eventually with my epic fantasy novel, that's the path I would like to take. And one aspect of these books that's been a really neat kind of opportunity, there is an app called Autography, and so the app is essentially what can allow an author to sign an ebook and personalize it. And the speaker who's coming next month to the FWA meeting, July 14th, I believe, he and a NASA scientist created this app, and I think they were one of the first, because there's probably more that have come out now. But this Autography app, because I met him at the Florida Writers Conference and was able to get the app, I have both Lance and Ringo Tales and Little Angel Helper available to be personalized and signed as ebooks. And what happens is, when you open the app, you essentially, you can put a picture in there. So like when I'm at the Gulfport Art Walk, if someone walks up and says, you know, I don't read print books, but I read ebooks, I say, hey, I gotcha. We can do this. And so we'll take a picture together. It'll be placed right there on this white page basically, and then I can sign it with a stylus, and it gets in the book gets sent to them with that right behind the cover. And so it's this very, very cool marketing tool.
Well, that's very clever.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So,
people will love that.
Yeah, so that's something that has that I've had the opportunity to utilize with both my indie published books that I can potentially take, obviously, into future books, too. So that's autography.com. And if you go to my website, there is on the contact and purchase page, you can request the signed ebooks if that's what you prefer.
Wow, I hadn't heard of that, and I thought I heard of everything.
Uh-huh,
it's just lovely to hear something new like that, a really useful tool and something that I know readers will enjoy, because readers do enjoy.
Yeah, and authors, I think, that don't know about it, if they do ebooks, that they can find out about this. So
it adds a new dimension when you ask people to buy an ebook.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, to have it really personalized is fantastic. It's a wonderful. And who's the author?
His name is T.J. Waters, and so the Autography website has kind of the spectrum of what this app can do for you. It's actually not just for writers. It can be for famous sports people. It can be for, I think there's just the gambit of anything that you would want to personalize electronically. They can work with you if you're, you know, an actress or, you know, whatever.
it's wonderful. This is America. We always come out with something new, something exciting. I'm sure this is going to be a very, very big hit.
Yeah.
Because it's just another reason for somebody to purchase a book, and which we're always looking for.
Right, exactly.
Reasons to purchase books.
Yep.
So it just, you know, I really appreciate you coming in today, Bria. It's just fantastic to see you again and to hear about your projects. And what I love so much about you is your enthusiasm and the work that you do for all the writers in you know, all of these events that you help arrange. And
well, thank you. I appreciate all you do for Writers with Joy on Paper. I mean, this is fantastic. Because, I mean, I know you've had, like, Mary Higgins Clark in here.
Yes.
And I'm going, am I sitting where she was sitting?
Well, you know, it's just so fantastic to have, to have so many, for me, it's been just a blessing to have this opportunity to talk to so many famous people and so many people who are going to be famous,
right,
and if they aren't yet.
And
the most wonderful thing is that writing just opens up a world for the writer. And,
there's a lot more to writing than I think people outside of it realize. And so when you are a writer and you're thinking, I don't know where to go from here, things like this radio program can help guide people in what to do and where to go.
Well, that's what I want to do. I just want to encourage everybody. You might not become as prolific as Bria, but you can write. And if you have a story that you want to tell, you know, a memoir, a story about your family, something that's important to you, sit down and write. And you'd learn so much about yourself and the process. And then if you can't finish it, there are places you can go. Fantastic ghostwriters who can help you finish a book. Mm-hmm. So if it's a story that you want to tell. Mm-hmm. Something that you want to get out there for people to remember, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about, too.
And the person who helped me with my self-publishing was John Regg of Soul Attitude Press. So mostly I did a lot of the work myself, but he helped me with a lot of the finer details. With Little Angel Helper, he actually formatted it for me. So for people who are thinking, hey, I just want to get this out to my family, that's one option.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you again, Bria. I want to thank everyone for listening in today. I've got a wonderful bunch of people coming up over the summer. Go to my website. It's radio-joyonpaper.com. It's a new website, and I have a lot of interesting things on the site. So please check it out. And meanwhile, just enjoy yourself and find your joy and share it and be happy. Oh, and tonight is karaoke night at the Miami Avenue Wine Bar. So if you need to get out of the house, go to Indian Rocks Beach, and you will really have a great time and meet the owner, Bev. She's very welcoming, and she'd love to meet you. So bye-bye. See you on Thursday. Bye.